Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone, touchdown, touchdown.
Welcome to hour number two. Steve Tasker, Matty Glab here on One Bills Live. Earlier this afternoon, Dawson Knox, a second-year tight end for the Buffalo Bills, in his second training camp coming in, met with the Western New York media. We're going to take some time out to listen to a large chunk of that interview. Here's Dawson Knox, Buffalo Bills tight end in the Western New York media.
The addition of Stephon Diggs seems to make everyone in the huddle a little bit better.
No question.
What are your impressions of, you know, kind of being around him and seeing him work?
Oh, I mean, it's been awesome ever since we were out in Miami training together, and now actually being in the building together. It's been cool kind of getting to know him off the field a little bit, but also just, you know, the way he works. You know, he's a workhorse. He's out there grinding just as hard as everybody else, and seeing him run some routes, like I've already tried to start picking up some certain things that he does while he's running routes, to see if I can do it myself. And a lot of times, you know, it's very difficult, but it's just impressive to watch. And obviously everybody's really excited to have him in the huddle with us.
Quick follow-up a little bit. The expectations for yourself. I know outside of the building, the experts seem to think that Dawson Knox is going to have a big year. What are your expectations for yourself? What did you go into the offseason kind of looking to do and improve on?
Yeah, so, you know, I felt like year one was, you know, it was a tough year just because it was, you know, first year in the league, trying to keep my head above water, kind of felt like I was just treading water the whole time. And finally, towards the end of the season, I felt like I was able to kind of start playing faster, not really – thinking about where I'm lining up and what I'm looking at pre-snap and more just playing freely. But this offseason, I've, you know, had a jug machine the whole time, just working on the hands and some of the easier catches where I would start looking downfield before I secured the ball away. That was a big emphasis for me. But also, I'm really excited having the same playbook with Dayball and just the same connections, like on the offense with Josh. I was with him tons of – you know, we had several throwing sessions during the offseason. So just continuing to work on that chemistry and kind of just building on everything we did last year. I'm really excited to see what, you know, this year is going to be like. I feel like, you know, I'm ready to make a big leap.
Thanks, Dawson. Stay safe.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
Hey, Dawson. John Scott, good to see you.
How's it going?
Good, good. I wanted to kind of see if you could expand on last year, and drops were an issue, and what were some of the things that you did this offseason to try to, you know, shorten up that little blip on your season?
Yeah, it was mostly just training my eyes. Like, it was, I realized there were a few of most of the issues that I had were on the easier balls that Josh would put a, you know, great ball right on my chest. You know, I'd kind of already be looking to make someone miss before I secured that. So it was kind of just going back to the basics, training my eyes to the tuck. I had a jug machine all offseason, which was great. And obviously getting together with Josh a lot helped there too. So I think, you know, I'll be prepared and ready to go this season.
one quick follow-up. What is your reaction to knowing that, in short order, Stephon Diggs is already referring to you as Mr. Stiff Arm?
See, that's funny. He's called me that a couple times in the locker room. I mean, you know, any compliment from him, I'll take. So that's nice. You know, I'll see how that goes this year again, too.
Yeah, there's some pressure. I mean, you got to keep it up then, right?
Yeah, I know. I can't be letting him down with that one now. I definitely got some pressure on me.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Yeah, appreciate it.
So, Mr. Stiff Arm, good morning. Mookie Harkins, Buffalo Sports 1080. You know, availability, growth, consistencies, those are some of the three things Coach McDermott spoke of recently. So what have you done to address those things?
Yeah, just like I already kind of mentioned, just going back to some of the basics when it comes to catching and then just working on fundamentals all off season. Obviously, the off season was a lot longer than everybody planned. So there was some extra time there for me to work on some specific things that I wanted to do. And even blocking wise, I want to get better in pass protection. I kind of want to be able to be out there and do whatever they need me to do. And I don't want to be a guy that they have to take off when they run certain packages. So I kind of wanted to just work on all areas of my game, make it a little bit more well-rounded and just work on some of the consistency things with catching the ball, which I think was great that me and Josh were able to get together so much during the offseason.
So, okay. So with that being said, we also know that tight end is a quarterback's best friend with all these new additions. You know, do you feel that you would, what do you got to do to make sure that you maintain targets this year?
You know, I think, you know, having Steph there on the outside, you know, I think that's going to open up the middle for me a lot. So hopefully, you know, cause defenses are going to respect him. And then obviously with Smoke and Cole, I mean, our receiving core is going to be special. So it's going to be really fun to watch those guys. And, you know, hopefully sometimes I'll get a little check down ball here and there, but there's also going to be some good plays where I'm out, you know, down the field, number one or two in the progression. So I think it's going to be similar to last year. But also we're throwing in some, you know, kinks here and there that I'm excited about.
Smoke, fire, Mr. Stiff Arm, sauce. I love it. Can't wait to see it on the field, man. Good luck this year.
Oh, can't wait. Appreciate it.
Hey, Dawson, Matt Perino, Syracuse.com. How are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's cool that you mentioned the time that you spent with Josh and some of the insight that he gave you, because I feel like it's a comparable situation. When he came in, he talked so much about like just getting thrown into the fire and having to kind of deal with figuring things out on the fly. What are some of the things that he shared with you in your time together that to kind of help you feel more prepared and more confident in year two?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, as a tight end, I don't have as much to worry about as quarterbacks do. I can't even imagine, you know, his job that he has to deal with. But he's, you know, off the field, we've just talked about kind of just trusting the same process that we're about to start again, going into camp, learning a few plays a day, just kind of putting those in the back pocket as we start working on the plays for the, you know, if we worked on 10 plays yesterday, kind of put those behind me and start working on the 10 today. And then just kind of building brick by brick, kind of a good foundation of, you know, getting the timing right with Josh down the field and kind of learning the playbook again as if, you know, it was the first time, kind of reworking some of the fundamentals and kind of seeing the whole concept, which for me is a thing that's really helped knowing where I am in the progression. So, you know, if I'm the third guy he's going to look at, I don't want to be open too soon or he's going to miss me. So, you know, just some little things that are easier to work on year two that, you know, would have been hard to get to on year one when I'm trying to learn the whole playbook, you know, from the start. So I'm really excited to see how that's going to go this year.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Hey, Dawson, Matt Bovee here. Hope you're doing well. Good to see you again. You keep bringing up this jug machine. I guess how frustrated were you last year that became kind of your focal point of the offseason? Because it's funny, you look back and it seems like all the crazy catches you were able to make, but you keep bringing up the simple ones that maybe you weren't happy with. Was that kind of the biggest focus going into the offseason?
Yeah, it was for me, just because that was a very frustrating thing. You know, there were some crucial catches that I needed to make that I didn't. And like I said, I mean, I even have some photos of me, the ball's getting there and I'm already looking to try to, you know, make someone miss or do a, you know, stiff arm or whatever you want to say. But I think it's going to be important for me to, like, even on the easy catches, just to work on my eyes, the tuck, And I think that's something that I was able to do a lot during the off season. Like, I got a bunch of little brothers, and my dad was able to get on the jug machine with me, and we were, you know, catching a few hundred balls a day. So it was a pretty good off season.
And apologize, because I know players don't often like to answer this question because you want to be your own player and your own person, but tight end is one of those positions where there's so many different varieties and so many types of tight ends. Is there somebody you kind of emulate your game around? Like, is there somebody who you've seen in the past and like, that's who I want to be? Because tight ends come in so many different shapes and sizes.
Yeah, to me, my favorite guy to watch right now is George Kittle. And I actually was able to train with him a good bit during the offseason. He was there in Nashville, and we kind of used the same guy for some of the field work. So I got to know him a little bit. He's a great dude, super high energy, really fun to, you know, work with, work out with, and compete against. But also just watching what he does on film is amazing. Like, he'll go, you know, block a DN and then go out, run a corner and, you know, score a touchdown. So I think it's really fun to see his athleticism in space, the way he can create separation. And then, you know, he's hard to bring down too. So I think if I was only to watch one person right now, I'd probably watch him.
See, I'm glad I asked. Thanks, man. Be well.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks.
Hey, Dawson. Jason Wolf at the Buffalo News. Appreciate you taking some time to talk to us.
Yeah, for sure.
Curious what you think about the value of consistency in personnel on offense this season, with so many guys returning, given, you know, everything you have to do, how weird this offseason and training camp is, and also the jump that you and Devin think that you can make heading into year two, now that you do have that one season, you know, established in the league.
Yeah, so Devin and I are really excited. I know Cody is too. All the rookies from last year, I think everyone kind of expects your biggest jump to be from year one to year two, because mostly during my rookie year last year, I was just, you know, trying to make sure I knew where to line up, knew where to, you know, run my route and what to look for in the defense. Because, you know, going from having a limited playbook to, you know, Coach Daboll's offense, it was, you know, night and day difference. And it's really exciting to see what he can do with, you know, the weapons that he has. But last year was, for me, it felt like I was playing slower than I could have. So this year I'm really excited to kind of, you know, already have the playbook mentally down. And then, like I kind of mentioned earlier, being able to dive into some of the specifics on, you know, when Josh is going to be looking for me and against what coverage, and then how to kind of run routes differently according to what I see the defense, to what I see in the defense. So I think, you know, especially me and Motor at those offensive skill positions, I think we're really excited to see that jump this year.
Hey, Dawson, Josh Reed again. If you were down in Nashville, you probably bumped into Connor McDermott, which is a whole probably other conference.
Oh, yeah, I saw him once or twice.
The thought of the possibility of no fans being in the stands, what, you know, have you even thought about that idea and what that would be like?
You know, I think it's crossed everybody's mind at some point. You know, it's not going to, you know, for us, first and foremost, we just want to play, but also knowing that there's a good chance, you know, the fans are going to be either limited or not there at all. You know, it's going to be really tough for us. You know, it's going to be an obstacle for sure because of the way that the, you know, the mafia brings the energy to the stadium. And I mean, it's so fun to play in front of those fans every Sunday. So I think that's definitely going to be a big thing that's missed. If that, you know, actually does happen to where fans can't be in the stands. And, you know, we're trying not to think too much about that aspect right now. We're just trying to take it day by day and get better right now and try to, you know, just keep focused on that first week. But if it does happen to where we can't have fans, I think everybody's going to be pretty, you know, frustrated about that. And we're going to have to find a way to bring ourselves energy because, you know, the fans do such a great job of that here.
That was Dawson Knox with the Western New York media. Steve Tasker, Matty Glab here. Matty, those comments by Dawson Knox really give you an insight as to how much he was hearing the stuff about him having the dropsies last season, about the work he put into it, about the commitment he had of going out. His workout guy was the same as George Kittle's, rubbing up against some really good tight ends, some guys who are veterans at his position, talking to them, rubbing up against them, watching them run routes. Also the stuff about watching Stephon Diggs run routes and taking some things away from him. some of the stuff he wanted to work on with pass protection, those kind of things. A lot going on with Dawson Knox this offseason. As you might imagine, this is his first offseason as a pro. But it seems as though he really got a system down where he could get better as the season, this season, than he was a year ago. And that was his focus. It really seems like he put in a lot of work to come back to the Bills a better player than he left just 6 or 8 months ago.
I remember talking to Dawson on locker cleanout day, and that was, you know, a sad day for everyone, including you and I, because the season was over, and none of us wanted the season to be over, especially with how that Texans game went. I mean, so close to winning that game and pushing deeper into the playoffs, but asking him about how the season went and what he wanted to do in the offseason, I mean, immediately he said, I need to work on those drops. I want to fix that. And he explained with the season ending, he felt like it was his first time since before his senior season in college that he could truly take a breath and kind of went into the timeline of someone going through their senior season into the NFL and really thinking about it. I mean, it's crazy. They go from playing an entire season, then they go into their bowl game, if they're going to have a bowl game. Then they go into training for the combine or for their pro day. And then from there, they go straight into the draft. They get drafted. They go to rookie mini camp. They go to all these other OTAs. Then the season starts. And then it's February, January, and you finally get a chance to exhale. So he explained a little bit that he was just kind of wading in water and just trying to keep his head above the water, being a rookie, learning the system. And he's someone who didn't have that much experience. He came to Ole Miss as a walk-on and didn't catch too many balls in the years that he was at Ole Miss. So yeah, your rookie year is going to be a huge step. And with the way that he was used because Tyler Kroft was out, oh my gosh, it was a leap for him last season. And to be able to perform the way he did, I think was way above expectations, which is great because he only sets it higher for his second year, and addressing those drops and getting on the jugs machine, like he said, catching 100 or so balls a day with his brothers and with his dad. That's what you need to do. You need to hone in, especially when you're young. You need to work on the fundamentals. You need to work on the small things before you can truly take a next step forward. And also continuity for a young player is great. It's awesome that he has Josh Allen again. It's awesome that he has Brian Daboll again, that he has very similar faces in the offense heading into his second year.
Yeah, it's, you think about the schedule these guys keep, these rookies, about, you know, they start their senior season and they don't stop until after their first year in the pros is in the books, and to finally get a chance to sit back, take a deep breath and self-assess about how far they've come. Because once the NFL regular season starts, it's 1,000 miles per hour and there ain't no going back and catching your wind. You're constantly getting barraged with information and improvement and technique and game plans and maintenance, body maintenance, you know, I mean, treatment, game planning, practicing, finding a new place to live in a new city with a new group of guys and all the acclimation that goes into that and getting to know. Now, certainly Sean McDermott and the coaching staff, they all did a really great job of, incorporating these rookies and kind of putting their arms around them and getting them up to speed real quick. But nevertheless, it's still a lot to take in. And to get back into January, February, this last January, February, after the Bills season ended, and finally getting a chance to take a breath and say, okay, now what happened, right? And then, you know, get hammered with a pandemic, almost get forced to take a breath, which is probably, you know, you think about it, it's probably for a guy like Dawson Knox, the pandemic probably isn't all bad because it probably kept him like, you know, just, you know, take an extra breather here for a minute, particularly a guy who is obviously as dedicated as he is, where he's, you know, he's got this personal trainer and he's got his dad and his brothers out there shooting a couple hundred footballs a day off the jugs machine. I'll tell you this too. It's fun and nice when, and I saw it happen not many times, but a number of times during my career, where you get a football player who knows what it means very early in their career to be a professional.
And Dawson Knox seems to be one of those guys. You go out and you spend the money to buy your own jugs machine. You buy your own 100 balls, you know, your own 33 dozen footballs, throw them into a big bucket, and you catch them. You got your brother, your dad, your girlfriend, your wife, your college buddy, whatever. Somebody's over there dunking these balls into the jugs machine and firing them at you about, you know, 55 miles an hour from 10 yards away, and you get used to that sensation. And all of that stuff getting rolled up into Dawson Knox and what he does bring to the table, it gives you high hopes that he might be the next Zach Ertz or George Kittle or Jason, or, you know, Zach or Kelsey, Travis Kelsey, Rob Gronkowski, all those great tight ends that have come down the pipe here in the National Football League. They came from somewhere. And in every single one of those cases, a lot of what they are and who they are as an NFL football player, superstar, is self-made. And Dawson Knox, you know, being there with George Kelsey, probably getting a firsthand, or George Kittle is probably getting a firsthand taste of what that looks like on a personal level. Pretty interesting.
I think it's going to be even more interesting to see how it plays out for him this year, because usually when you have two tight ends on the field at the same time, you have a blocking tight end and you have a pass catching tight end. Lee Smith is our blocking tight end on this team. But Tyler Kroft is healthy this year, and Tyler Kroft is the dude that they spent the money on. Now they restructured his contract to where this year is a prove it year for them. But Tyler Kroft is going to get an opportunity this season to showcase why he was signed by the Bills and to prove himself. And it'll be so interesting to see how they manage snaps for Dawson and Tyler Kroft. Because I would say more likely than not, they're not going to be on the field at the same time. There's going to be few times where that's the case, and to see how each of them are used, maybe they're going to split snaps between each other. But it'll be interesting to see if there's competition there to see who gets the most reps and who truly shows, you know, their worth on the field.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because you're right. They may never be on the field.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yield at the same time or during the season. And I remember Teddy Marchabrota, the offensive coordinator for my years with the K-Gun offense, he used to say this. He goes, we're going to see this, and you might see Kroft and Knox on the field like 25 times during the season. That's it, 25 plays. But 20 of them will all be in the same game because it'll be a game plan thing, and they'll have a matchup. You know, it's going to be that kind of situation where you're going to have these guys, they'll never see each other on the field until they get to that one game, or maybe if it's against a division opponent, both games against the Jets or both games against the Dolphins or both games against the Patriots, they're on the field a ton together because it fits the game plan. And you're right. There is some competition there, and there is some depth at that position, just like there is every position. But Dawson Knox, listen, not for nothing. I don't want to blow sunshine up his skirt or anything, but the guy was a rookie in the National Football League. It was an afterthought in his college program, and he's a starter on a playoff team in the NFL. That guy can play. He already came to the team with something under his belt, And you got to tip your hat because the guy who was under the radar who had a stellar season last year was Dawson Knox. He was a starter on an NFL football team at tight end in the playoffs as a rookie. That's big. I don't want that to go away. Yeah, he had some problems. He's got some stuff to learn. But man, oh man, I think there's a lot under the hood of Dawson Knox that we haven't seen yet. It's going to be interesting to see. Steve Tasker,
like
Maddie Glad.
Josh Allen.
That's right.
I was going to say, just like Josh Allen, Dawson Knox has so much more left to prove.
That's right. All right. After the break, we're going to take your questions out of the Friday mailbag. We're going to hear it from our listeners. You are listeners right after this break. Steve Tasker, Maddie Glab here till 3 o'clock. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker, Maddie Glab here till 3 o'clock. We just listened to the media availability of Dawson Knox with the Western New York media. If you want to listen to that, you can go back and listen to it on the BuffaloBills.com, Buffalo Bills app, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. You can go back and listen to the portions of the show or the entire show if you like to do that. Right now we're asking our fans, our faithful listeners, their most pressing questions about the Buffalo Bills and the 2020 season. This is our One Bills Live Friday mailbag, and it starts out with an X's and O's question. We've been asking you about what your thoughts are overall about training camp and what you're worried about. But these are your most pressing questions, and they start out with the mailbag, Maddie, with a question from Andrew. Who do you think our starting right guard will be? Cody Ford, Brian Winters, or somebody else? Who do you think it's going to be, Maddie? Any thoughts?
Well, based on what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean said, is that they are looking at Cody Ford first as a right tackle. And I think that's an important part about this conversation and to this equation of who the best five are going to be on this offensive line. Because yes, we saw Cody Ford rotate between guard and tackle last season, but if they're looking at him as a right tackle, first and foremost, I'd say he stays there. And I do think he will continue to rotate because Brandon Bean also said we're going to use him at both positions this year. The question remains will be, how often does he rotate between both positions? Now, he really stuck at right tackle when Ty Nsekhe went out towards the end of the season for those five straight weeks. So with a healthy Ty Nsekhe and a healthy Brian Winters, it'll be interesting to see how that rotation works. Right guard, though, with all that being said, I think the addition of Brian Winters here is an important one. I think he makes sense at right guard. I also think Darrell Williams is another player who makes sense at right guard. These are two known starters in the NFL. Darrell Williams comes from the Panthers, so he has that connection to the Panthers, to, you know, all of the players on the team who have played for the Carolina Panthers. So I'd say Winters or Williams there at that right guard spot. I think Ford will be rotating through that position sometimes, but I think he's going to stick over at right tackle at least to begin the season. But just like training camp went, I'm sure we are going to see the crazy rotations every single day when we can start watching practice, because they did that last year, one, to find the best five, but two, to have sure backups when someone went out, and it definitely paid off.
Yeah, and the fact that they brought in Brian Winters, I think they feel like they got better. He's a really good player, and he's a solid guard as well, played well for the Jets. They know exactly who Brian Winters is, and they probably got the idea in their mind now, to me, that there's our guy. There's a guy that can play guard as well as Cody Ford can play guard, and now we can put Cody Ford out at right tackle where we wanted him. And that, I think, to me, is the difference right there. They signed Brian Winters for a reason. That guy can play. And now there's not going to be any drop-off at guard if Cody Ford goes to right tackle and vice versa. So I like that move, and I think that says a lot about what they think they needed to make sure Ford can stay at tackle. I think what they needed was a guard that they thought, you know, that guy can plug and play and he's going to go. Plus, with the loss of John Feliciano, they probably felt like they were lucky to upgrade at that spot. So I think that's right. I think Cody Ford is a right tackle first. And I think those other guys, Darrell Williams, Brian Winters, and, of course, John Feliciano when he comes back, and all the other guys at the depth chart, which there are many, I think they're going to be vying for that spot at right guard and maybe left guard as well. So it'll be interesting to see. It depends on, too, on who can play center as well to back up Mitch Morse. All that stuff. I think. Go ahead.
I was going to say that backup spot. I think one new player who can provide depth to that center position, which is something that was needed last year, is Evan Bain. They're bringing him in as a guard and a center. So I think he's somebody who will be able to provide depth there. He played for the Colts and the Dolphins most recently.
Right. So all of that stuff put in there. I'm with you. I think Cody Ford goes to tackle, stays there as much as he can. If he starts to play well there, they'll worry about guard rather than worrying about moving Cody Ford. But because I think the way it was last year, and I could be wrong about this, but the way it appeared to me last year was Cody Ford was the better guard. But when Ty Nsekhe was healthy, they liked Cody Ford at tackle, but because Nsekhe was a better guard than anybody else was, all right, here we go. I'm going to get this right, Manny. Because Ty Nsekhe was a better tackle than any of the other guys were at guard, I think they felt like they could move Cody Ford to guard and still be good. And then when Nsekhe went down, they moved Cody out to tackle, and then next guy in, they wanted at guard, not at tackle. So I think that's what they did. I think the weakness was at guard, not at tackle. When Nsekhe went out, the next best guy was Cody Ford. So it was one of those old unfortunate rotational things where they said, listen, we're going to have to move two guys around to get better at one. And I think when Nsekhe kept going down in and out of the lineup at right tackle, Cody Ford used that as an excuse to, he's rotating in and he's going to be the guy. But I think it was the fact that they had better backup. They had Cody Ford, who's a better tackle than anybody else, was going to play tackle, and they had to move him out to do that. So, I think that was a function of Nsekhe's inability to stay on the field last year, and the fact that Cody Ford could play guard and tackle better than most of the guys in the backup roles. So they kept them both on the field as much as they could.
I was going to add one thing. One thing that I had mentioned before a couple weeks ago when we were on this topic is that as a rookie, Cody Ford was a rookie last year, going to be a second year player this year. So he's still very young. And one question that I had was, by rotating him through right guard and right tackle, and in his second year doing so as well, does that stunt his growth at being at one position? Is he not going to be able to grow essentially how he could grow at right tackle if he was there the entire time? But, Cody Ford might just be this really talented player who can grab hold of two positions and rotate through guard and tackle all the time throughout, his entire career. This just may be a player that has the intelligence level to be able to rotate like that, and it's not going to harm his ceiling or how much he can grow.
One of the things about this, we talk about players rotating, you usually think about that as, rookie players like the Bills like to do. They like to develop them, giving them some reps early in the season, more and more reps as the season wears on. We get this from our Friday mailbag as we plow through that from Vince, and he says, which Bills rookie will make the greatest impact this season and why? It's a really good question. And you start with obviously the draft picks, the guys they expect to. A.J. Epenesa, the top pick. In the second round, Zach Moss, Gabriel Davis, Jake Fromm, Tyler Bass, Isaiah Hodgins, and Dane Jackson. Now, they've got some other guys like offensive tackle Trey Adams, a safety, Garrett Taylor, Brandon Walton, who is an offensive lineman, Antonio Williams, another running back. Ike Brown is another corner. Josh Thomas, another defensive back, Markell Harrell, from Auburn, who's an offensive lineman. So they've got a lot of rookies that they've signed that, and you know, when you weed down through them, you got to start really, to me, Maddie, with the draft picks. And the top one is AJ Epenesa. Certainly he plays a position that can be, pretty prominent position at outside defensive end, a pass rusher. But I think in a place where the team rotates so many guys, even quality veteran players move in and out of the lineup at a regular basis, I think maybe you have to drop down and next and probably go to Zach Moss as a guy who could really make the biggest difference, sharing half the carries or 50% of the carries with Devin Singletary.
Yeah, I have to think about Zach Moss too, just thinking about the other options you have. AJ Epenesa, yes, he's going to get his time on the field, probably not as much as what Zach Moss will get. Yes, Gabe Davis will be on the field. Yes, Isaiah Hodgins could be on the field too, but those reps are going to be fewer than that of Zach Moss because you have Devin Singletary and you have TJ Yeldon in that room. And Zach Moss. I assume the two are going to be Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. And I think how they complement each other earns Zach Moss that much more reps. How they are able to set each other up in different situations. You know, Zach Moss is going to be your power back. Devin Singletary is more of an elusive pass catching running back. I will say this, if Tyler Bass beats out Steven Hauschka, Tyler Bass immediately will have the biggest impact on this team because he's going to be the one kicking your field goals.
That's a good point, too. If the guy's on the team, he's going to make a huge difference, and that could be the one thing that tips it in his favor. We're going to keep on with this. This is good stuff. We're going to take this to the top of the hour, the Friday mailbag with Steve Tasker and Maddie Glab. What are your questions? If you want to get in on the conversation, you can. You can call us at 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550. We'll take your questions from the phone or on Twitter, or you can email us as well. You should just tweet us at OneBillsLive on Twitter. Give us your questions. We've got a ton that are piled up, but you can get in on the conversation if you want to get to the top of the line. If you want to get to the front of the line, call us, and we'll take those calls. Steve Tasker, Maddie Glab, coming back after the break with more of your questions on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker and Maddie Glab here taking your questions in our Friday mailbag. We've got a ton of responses and people asking really pretty good questions. We had one from Andrew, one from Vincent. Now, from the Beef, Maddie, I want you to take a stab at this one. There's a lot in here. You ready?
There's a lot to unpack here, so yes, bear with us, guys, because the Beef did his research.
That's right. Okay, here's from the Beef. How much better does the run game get? We have the number one easiest schedule against run defenses. Also, how do you see the number three and number five wide receiver options shaking out? And tight end behind Knox. As Diggs and Browns will be the number one and two wide receiver, using the others on top of the run game should put us at the 24 point plus points per game a game. Yeah, there's a lot in there. How much better does the run game get? Who's the tight end behind Knox? How is number three and five, three through five wide receiver go? Diggs and Browns, number one and two. I think the running game for me, Maddie, the running game for me always starts with the run with the offensive linemen and how dominant they can be up front. How much can they consistently win the line of scrimmage? And how good can Josh Allen throw it? How effective are they going to be throwing the football? If a team really doesn't pack the box and put eight in the box against Josh Allen because he's throwing the football very well, you know, Devin Singletary and Zach Moss could have a field day against these run defenses. He's right. Last year, these run defenses weren't at the top of the league. The Bills are going to have a chance to make some hay on the ground if they can get it done. I think the running game will be better. I do believe it's going to be better. I think their entire offense is going to be better, starting with the running game.
Devin Singletary was asked a question when he talked to the media yesterday. He was asked, do you think the addition of Stephon Diggs, with that addition, do you think that opens up more for the run game? And he said, I mean, yeah. Defenses are going to have to respect the passing game more this season because of Stephon Diggs. And if they're going to respect the passing game more, yeah, they're not going to stack the box as much, and that's going to open up opportunity for the run game. We know that this offense does like to use the run, whether that's Singletary, whether that's Allen, whether that's not, whether that's Zach Moss. But I think more so this year, we're going to see a little bit more pass added into that equation because of Stephon Diggs, because the chemistry is only going to get better with John Brown and Cole Beasley. And Stephon Diggs is going to make everybody around him better. When you look at wide receiver options, number 3 through number 5, I mean, you have Stephon Diggs, you have John Brown, and then 3, that's Cole Beasley.
Right.
Year 4, year 5, I'm looking at this list right now, and I think this is going to be a great training camp battle, is how many do they keep in the wide receiver room, and who earns those spots, because there's a couple available, and we've talked about this before, Steve, is I think Andre Roberts is on this team because of what he provides to special teams. I would say that was a lock last year because of what he provided to the special teams. And then you look at the highest drafted wide receiver for them. They drafted 2, Gabe Davis and Isaiah Hodgins. Gabe Davis was drafted before Isaiah Hodgins was. I think Gabe Davis probably makes this roster because Brandon Bean loves his draft picks. He loves growing those guys up. He loves seeing what they can offer. He loves helping them learn under an awesome offensive coordinator in Brian Daboll. It's gonna be tough. You have Isaiah McKenzie, you have Duke Williams, you have Isaiah Hodgins, you have Robert Foster. I mean, we could argue all day about who 4 and 5 are gonna be.
Right, and it's gonna be hard for the front office, the personnel department, the coaching staff to evaluate all these players in a year where they're not going to get nearly the repetitions they've gotten in the past, or the repetitions you would expect for a young player to get when he's trying to impress the coaching staff that drafted him, which means what? To me, it means they're going to hang on to their draft picks to make sure that that they get every opportunity to develop. And they do expect these players to develop. And that's one of the things that Sean McDermott and this coaching staff have done extremely well at. That's getting their young players to play better and doing it in a methodical way, which means slow starts, very few reps when the games begin, taking it very slow, making sure they have their feet under them mentally. For instance, when Devin Singletary started the season last year, weeks 1 and 2, it was pretty evident he had a small menu of plays they were going to run with him, and most of them involved him directly. He wasn't being asked to look to the backside of the pass protection and pick up the first guy that came and step to the right guy and take somebody on. So they didn't have very high expectations of them, but they little by little throughout the season, they start to add this stuff. So my point is this: these rookies, particularly in the wide receivers, it's going to come down to how much potential this coaching staff sees in them, because they're not going to be able to see these guys fully formed in this training camp the way it's constructed. And I think it means that it's going to be harder, really hard, for the guys down the line in the evaluation process to get looked at in a substantive way. I think you go with the guys you picked early in the draft. You go with the guys that you have the most faith in, and you kind of let everybody else fall away. I just really question the comprehensive nature of how they're going to evaluate these young players. And that goes for the 4th and 5th wide receiver and 6th and 7th wide receivers on the depth chart, and the same thing in the D-line, linebacker, defensive back, all those corners they brought in. They drafted a couple of them, as well as brought in a couple of free agents. All those guys are neck deep in competition, and the competition is who can sit the best in a film room, they're not on the practice field. So it's really going to be difficult to have a clear idea of who's going to be good, who's going to be bad in this training camp, given the fact that nobody's going to get reps. All right, let's go. There was a lot in that question from Beav. So let's move on to one from Nick T. We got time for one more from Nick T. Right now, if you had to bet money on it, Do you think every NFL team will play their full 16-game season as scheduled? No middle ground, just yes or no answer. I'd say yes until they say no. I think they are going to play it. And because here's what I think is going to happen, Maddie. There's going to be games where this team is going to go in there thinking, man, we got to really scramble to have 53 or 47 guys to get on the field, but we're going to get them on. And that's going to be the mandate from the NFL. If you've got 47 healthy bodies, let's play ball. That's going to be it. I don't think the NFL is going to have too much gray area in that area. If you can, you will play. If you can't, you will forfeit. So these teams are going to have a fire lit underneath them. I haven't been told that they're going to forfeit games or anything like that. I'm just saying, as a consequence, there's going to be some consequences. If you can't get your team ready, you're going to suffer for it. So I think these teams will have really have every incentive there is to make sure they can field a team every Sunday for 16 weeks.
Yeah, I'm taking the high road on this one. I want every game to be played. So yes.
That's the high road. Okay. Yeah, right. I mean, until they're not going to happen, they're going to happen. And so that's where I sit with you, Maddie. Okay, Steve Tasker, Maddie Glab. Coming up after the break, ESPN national reporter covering the Buffalo Bills is going to come on with us, Marcel Louis Jock, coming on One Bills Live right after the break. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. We'll be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.